day. Our study tonight is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 to 58, understanding the rapture when we Christians get our spiritual bodies. Encountering the view of some in Corinth that there was no resurrection, the Apostle Paul anticipated the question of what would happen to those believers who did not die, and how then could they get the glorified body. The question is answered in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 to 58, and review the passage for our edification. I'd like to read the verses, and then we'll look at them. Beginning to verse 50 of 1 Corinthians 15. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit it incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, O death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. At the event that we theologically call the rapture of the church, Christian believers in the church era who have died, as well as living Christians, will be physically changed into their spiritual bodies. This change for both groups will occur in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye. You'll notice in verse 52, in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. I don't know if you and I will experience that. I don't know if God will speed things up, because everything is relative. If you go close, if you approach the speed of light, then things that occur around you slow down. But I don't know. I have a feeling that all of a sudden we're going to be in heaven. What happened? Ah, the rapture. Okay, that's how fast apparently this is going to occur. But a big issue is, when is it going to occur? We've got a lady in our church right now who's been exposed to people who believe in the post-tribulation rapture, those who believe in the mid-tribulation rapture, and are we going to face trials and tribulations before the rapture? And this is a real concern to many people. Well, you'll notice in verse 52 it says, at the last trump. Now that is not a reference to Donald Trump, as some might think, the last or the last of his family or anything like that. It's the last trump. And that means that it will occur before the seven-year Great Tribulation period begins, in contrast to the other opposing views. And I want to explain that. Various groups believe the 1 Corinthians 15:52 last trump sounds after the Great Tribulation begins. For example, mid-tribulationists who hold the rapture occurs in the middle of the tribulation claims this trump here in 1 Corinthians 15:52 is the seventh trumpet of Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Let me just take a little bit of time to look at that. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, we read, and the seventh angel sounded. This is his sounding his horn. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever, etc. And they say, well, that occurs in the middle of the tribulation, just before God unleashes the bowl judgments and so forth. Then post-tribulationists, who teach that the rapture occurs at the end of the Great Tribulation, assert that the 1 Corinthians 15:52 trumpet is the one that sounds in Matthew chapter 24, verse 31, at Christ's second coming. Let me just read that verse. In Matthew 24, 31, let me back up at verse beginning to verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. There is that trumpet that they think sounds. And they shall gather together his elect from four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. I've often wondered why they believe that, because at the second coming of Christ, Christ is coming down, so the rapture occurs, you go right up, you meet Christ, you turn around, come right back down. My question is, what's the point? Why do that? That doesn't make sense. But anyway, that's the post-trib position. However, Scripture reveals that the 1 Corinthians 15:52 last trump sounds before the tribulation starts, and here's why. We know from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, that Christians will not face God's wrath. And there's no hint in the context of 1 Corinthians 15:52 that its last trump sounds in the Great Tribulation. Let me just look back at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'll read that passage. Verse 1, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunk are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another as you also do." Why would Paul say comfort yourselves if indeed you're going to have to be raptured at the end of the tribulation after you've gone through all that trauma? It doesn't make sense. And God has not appointed us for wrath. We're not supposed to experience his wrath. So we're not supposed to face the wrath of God. And you'll notice in the passage that we've been studying, 1 Corinthians 15, there's not one hint so far about the great tribulation period. It's just not there. So you have to kind of cook it up. In fact, those who hold to both the mid-tribulation rapture and the post-tribulation rapture positions have a problem with this passage in 1 Corinthians 15 because they can't point to anything in the passage that hints that we're going to be facing the Great Tribulation or anything like it before the rapture. However, the contexts of both Revelation 11:15 that is used by the mid-trib rapturists about their trumpet and Matthew 24:31 about the post-tribulationists and their trumpet, they show that their respective trumpets sound after the expression of God's wrath has begun. So no church era believer should then exist on the earth, since he's not supposed to have to face God's wrath. Let me show this. If you go to, for example, Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, where you have the seventh angel sounding, you'll notice in verse 13, this is before you get to verse 15, in Revelation 11:13, it says, "At the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city," that would be the city of Jerusalem, "fell in the earthquake, and were slain of the men 7,000. And the remnant were frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe cometh quickly." So you've already had two woes, which are major, you know, traumas in the Great Tribulation period. Then in verse 15, the seventh angel sounds. Well, you've already got tribulation. You've already got the expression of God's wrath starting before the mid-tribulation position. So the last trumpet here, 1 Corinthians 15, can't be the one in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And then in Matthew chapter 24, where you have the trumpet that post-tribulationists believe sounds, that trumpet sounds at verse 31, which says, "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect." But if you go back to verse 29, it says, "Immediately after tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened." You've already had the tribulation period, and now you're at the end of it, and here is coming the second coming of Jesus Christ. But there's no hint of such a thing in 1 Corinthians 15. So the last trump of 1 Corinthians 15:52 sounds before the great tribulation begins. For God to save the church out of the tribulation period. And the phrase "the last trump" alludes to the Old Testament expression of the sounding of the trumpet in Numbers 10, 5, and 6 that called for God's people to travel, which in this case is the church's last earthly journey, its journey to heaven. See, throughout the Old Testament, Israel is going from place to place by the sounds of the horns. They would blow an alarm with these, of silver trumpets. And depending upon how many trumpets blew and what particular alarm they blew, the people knew exactly what they needed to do. If they were being attacked by an enemy, that would sound off. If it was time for them to get up and move, fine. Then everybody throughout the all 2 million people heard this, and they knew exactly what to do. But it was a sign of movement. So Paul picks up a very typically Jewish reference, and he says at the last trump, what's that? That's the movement. That's the call for God's people to move. Where are we moving? We're moving to heaven. All right? That's our last movement. You're not going to be moving to Rhode Island or moving to Kentucky or moving to Virginia or Maine or anything. We're moving to heaven. We're going that way. We've never gone that way before, but we're going to be going that way. So that's where the trumpet sounds. Now, when the trump of God sounds, all dead believers in the church era will be raised. And 1 Thessalonians 4:15 and 16 reveals that they will be raised first, and they'll ascend up to the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The word air is atmosphere. So we're going to meet the Lord in the clouds. I never forget one day I was talking to a lady. She was a Christian. She was getting close to death, and she said, "Pastor, I'm not afraid of dying. I'm afraid of heights. So when my soul goes up, you know, is it going to be scary?" And I assured her, I said, "The Holy Spirit will take care of that. In fact, the Bible says to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. You're going to go zip like that. And then in the glorified body, you know, you're not going to be afraid of heights at all. And they won't, you know, you won't worry about falling or anything. But we're going to meet the Lord in the atmosphere." That's where those who are deceased. And so we have people in our church who, if we think of Bob Lord, I think the Slates may have been at the Lord funeral this afternoon. Somebody might have been at the Lord. Chris was, okay. Bob Lord, he's going first, see? And the typical Bob. He's going up first, you know. And then we're going to be caught up and we'll be changed and we'll meet the Lord in the air. And that's the beauty of this whole thing. Then living Christians will be changed, and we will ascend to meet our Lord in the air. And that's a wonderful thought. One of the Slate children once asked me, "Pastor, when the rapture occurs, what if a woman is pregnant? What happens to the baby?" I said, "Honey, the Lord will take care of that. Don't worry about it." And I believe that the Lord will take that baby, because before the baby reaches the age of accountability, it goes to be with the Lord. So we don't worry about that. But God will take care of all of these nitty-gritty things that concern us, and we'll be going to heaven and we'll be meeting the Lord, and we meet these other believers in the air, and we'll ever be with the Lord. In fact, from that point onward, the church, the bride of Christ, will accompany the Lord Jesus forever. Wherever the groom goes, the bride goes in the wedding party. Okay, once they come together, they're together from then on. They're together in the reception. They sit together at the same table, etc., and they're forever. And we're forever going to be with our Lord. And the whole church will be all together in one unit with the Lord. We're going to have millions and millions of people with our Savior, the Lord Jesus. It's going to be wonderful. Now, returning to address his readers who needed an explanation of the change of the physical body into the spiritual body, Paul, in verses 53 to 57, stressed our victory over sin and its bad effects of on our bodies. The greatest thing about the rapture is that we'll be forever putting sin behind us. Our corruptible bodies affected by sin must put on incorruption, and mortality, immortality, for bodies that can be corrupted and die are laced by sin. That's why they are corrupted and die. And they cannot qualify to be in a holy God's presence. So when our corruptible and our mortal bodies have put on incorruptibility and immortality, then will be fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 25:8, that death has been swallowed up in victory. You see, very contrary to evolutionary thinking, we do not view death as something that is normal. It is abnormal. Death invaded, like an infection. It invaded the universe through sin. But God is going to clear it up. He's going to swallow death up in victory in life. Then Paul cited Hosea 13:14 that asked, where was the sting of death and where was the victory of the grave? Explaining that the sting of death is sin. And of course, the strength of sin is the law which condemns us. But Jesus Christ, through his substitutionary death for our sin on the cross, has freed us from the condemnation of God's law, so that in Christ we have positional victory over sin, and hence we must partake of the blessings of the rapture, where that positional truth becomes our experience. Now, I didn't put this in the notes either, but this is also very important. God wants to apply the redemption of Christ to our bodies. It hasn't been applied to our bodies yet, but it will be according to Romans chapter 8, verse 23. Why? In our bodies, we knew failure. We knew defeat. We knew the effects of defeat, of sin, and so forth. God wants us to have victory in these bodies in which we had known defeat. So that's why you have the redemption of Christ applied to the body. So we're going to get these bodies, but they'll be transformed into the likeness of Christ's own glorious body. It'll be a body that shifts from weakness to power, from dishonor to honor and to glory, and you'll feel great. You'll never get tired. You never get sick. None of that stuff. It's going to be a great, great thing when we get those bodies. Now, this explanation of the rapture and its great victory over sin, corruption, and death leads to the encouragement for believers always to abound in the work of the Lord, for they know that their labor in him is not in vain. That's so important. In fact, I read that verse. Since I was the pastor in my family at my dad's funeral at his grave, I was supposed to give a closing admonition. It was tough, but I gave it, and out of verse 58, and I know this is what my father would want us to say. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Anything that we do for the Lord counts. If we're doing it in his power, where it counts, and it counts not just for today, it counts on into eternity. It goes on and on. That's what 1 John chapter 2, verse 17 says. So whatever you do, don't quit if you're serving the Lord. Keep functioning in him. So before the seven-year great tribulation period begins, the church will be raptured as dead believers are raised and living believers are changed from mortal, corruptible, sin-affected bodies into holy, immortal, incorruptible ones. And together they join Christ in the clouds of the air and proceed back to heaven away from the great tribulation of God's expression of wrath on the world. So may we hold to the blessed hope of the pre-tribulation rapture, and in view of its great victory over sin and death, then in view of this hope, may we always abound in the work of the Lord that God has assigned us, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord.